Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, and we will continue our study, Lord willing, in chapter 4. And this week, Lord willing, we'll conclude verse 18, and we'll see how it goes. Maybe get started into verse 19. So let's read verses 17, 18, and 19 to start with this afternoon. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. So it's not the words of Paul, it's the words of the Lord. Amen. That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 18 states, having the understanding darkened, having the understanding darkened, we looked at and considered that thought about 3 weeks ago now. Then last week we considered the next statement, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. This week, because of the blindness of their hearts. You see, their understanding is darkened, and they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of them because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness of their heart. When you and I consider blindness, we would say, well, then they can't be held accountable, right? Because they're blinded through no fault of their own. Well, let us look at the word blindness here. There's a reason why they're blind and have blindness. This blindness here is a word which, well, we could say stupidity. That's not the definition of it, is, but after I give you the definition, you're going to say, well, that's what it is then. But this blindness here has to do with a covering of callous. A covering of callous. In other words, their heart is calloused over. Their heart is calloused over it, and therefore it's hard. This morning we used the likeness of rock, stone. It's a stone, it's a petrified stone. Calloused over with a covering. Their heart is hard as a callous. It defines the next verse, the first phrase defines the definition of the blindness of their heart. Being past feeling. You know, well, I used to have calluses when I did manual labor. Now I don't do much manual labor, so the calluses have disappeared.
But I used to like to take those calluses, and you could go like that and not feel a thing.
You're calloused over. And so you can imagine a callousness over the heart. You can imagine a callousness over your eyes. You'd be blind. You'd be past feeling. Petrified as stone. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul uses this likeness in the verse 14 of the third chapter of the second letter to the Corinthians. He said, "But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." Here Paul references that blindness of the mind, another word for heart. I mean, it gets to the seat of man, to the heart of man. Some places referenced as a mind, some places referenced as a heart. But he uses the illustration of the Old Testament law, the reading of the Old Testament law, and they would read through the Old Testament law and the Ten Commandments and continuing on, and they come to the tabernacle. And they come to inside the tabernacle, and particularly the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And what was beyond the veil was the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat of God, and the cherubims. And they couldn't come in there. That place was hid to the nation of Israel. That was God's dwelling place, and they could not come into the presence of God without dying. Except the high priest, once a year. And because he was a man, a sinful man, he had to offer first for his own sins, and then the sins of the people. This high priest typified the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Lord Jesus Christ was without sin. He did not need to offer for his own sins, but he came in offering for the sins of the people. And sprinkling the blood. And so the veil, when Christ did that, that veil was rent in twain, and it's gone. And now we that are saved can come into the very presence of God based upon the work of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And of course, Hebrews chapter, the book of Hebrews outlines that for us and describes that very eloquent beginning with angels, and we have so much greater in Christ than angels, and right on into the priestly function and the high priestly function. We have so much better in Christ Jesus. And then 10th chapter is Jesus Christ, who was the law foreshadowed, Jesus Christ coming, and Jesus Christ one sacrifice once for all.
Amen.
And now let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. You see. But he said, their minds were blinded. They were calloused. Speaks of a willingly being angry, willingly being blinded. John chapter 3 describes it so eloquently for us.
They are willing to abide in darkness because their deeds are evil. They love their wickedness. They love their evil deeds, and so they continue on in darkness. They continue on in that blindness.
You see, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew in chapter 13. And Jesus gives us a pretty good illustration here of, well, at least the religious world and all men, even the atheist, are religious. I mean, they wouldn't be religious as per se in Christ Jesus. They think that's foolishness. But atheism is a religion. You see, it's a godless religion. But nonetheless, it is religion. And all religion that is except according to God, which is not in Christ Jesus, is godless religion. But in Matthew chapter 13, looking here at verses 5 and 6, we read, "Some concerning the seed being cast, some fell upon stony places." Note that, stony places. What are we talking about? We're talking about calloused heart. We're talking about a hard-hearted, hard heart, stony heart. "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith, oh, they sprang up because they had no deepness of root." In other words, they sprung up quickly because they had no deepness of root. "And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away." Well, he gives us the interpretation of that scenario in verses 20 and 21. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, immediately, with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dareth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. He falls by the wayside." He says, as they said in verses 5 and 6, "The sun comes up, beat up, and it withers." Withers and dies out. "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns..." Well, I read verses 20 and 21. That's all I wanted. Verses 20 and 21. Stony places. Stony heart. Yes, the seed falls upon stony heart. Some appear to have received it, but the heart is still stony. So they don't endure for long. They dureth for a while, but not for long. You see, when the going gets tough, they fall by the wayside. They get offended, and they're gone. Turn with me now to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel, in the 11th chapter. And on Wednesday, for our study on Wednesday night, I'm working on this chapter now, even though we're not in it. But Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19. He says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh." You see, by and large, right now, that remnant that he's speaking of here, they have a stony heart. They're hard-hearted to the things of Christ, to the true things of Christ. They're, as was described to us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14, their minds are blinded. They have blindness in their mind. They have blindness of heart. You see, but one day, that stony heart's going to be taken away. They're going to be given a new heart. And they're going to look upon Jesus whom they have pierced. But as it applies to the other Gentiles, the other Gentiles that are being referenced here in our text, the unsaved, their hearts are stony, and unless the Lord takes that stony heart away, unless the Lord takes away that callous of the heart and gives them a new heart, as he did myself, as he did those of you that are here today and saved, you see, they'll continue on in their blindness, and their heart being hard and to the things of God. Oh, they might make a pretense for a while. They might do it for a while, but they're gonna be offended at the word and fall by the wayside eventually. And God, listen to me. God knows their hearts. But know this also, God knows our hearts too. Just as well as he knows them. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 17. We read in verse 9. The heart is deceitful. That is, it is fraudulent, polluted. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's incurable. It's incurable, the wickedness. There's no cure for it. You can't cure it. I can't cure it. But notice the next verse. The Lord can. The Lord can. He can take that callous off the heart. He can give them a new heart. He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. You can't know it. You can't know the depths of wickedness of your heart. But the Lord knows it. The Lord knows everyone's heart and how desperately wicked it is and incurable. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Wow. Every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his works, of his doings. He put it this way in another passage of Scripture in the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah. 32nd chapter of Jeremiah, verse 19. He said, great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Yeah. There are things that sometimes that pop into my heart, into my mind, into my heart, but you know nothing about.
no one knows anything about. But don't be deceived. God knows.
Amen.
God knows every thought. He knows everything that's in that heart. And even the things about this heart that I don't know, and I'm sure there's a lot, the Lord knows it. The Lord knows it. But praise God, He knows the thoughts that He has for me. And He has prepared for me, for those that love Him, those that are obedient to do His commandments. Just as we've been studying in Sunday school about Joshua and Caleb. Praise God. They were men. They had wicked hearts. Same as you and I. But praise God, He knew the thoughts, His purposes that He had for them. And He worked them out through them in their workings. To His honor and glory, they were faithful to carry out the desires and the purposes of God. First Chronicles, chapter 29, last chapter of First Chronicles. In this chapter, David is recounting some things. And he recounts this in for us in verse 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart. Thou triest the heart. He tries it. He knows it. He searched it. He tries it. And has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. Praise God. He knows the heart, he searches the heart, and he tries the heart to prove. He tries the heart of his people to prove them faithful unto himself. Turn with me to Psalms, the book of Psalms in chapter 44. Psalms in chapter 44, and we read in verse 21, shall not God search this out? He said in verse 20, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God. Uh-oh. Why did you have to read that verse, Pastor? Why? Well, that's talking to me too. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God. Well, most of the time in our kids, we don't bow down. We don't have an image here that we bow down to and all that. But how many times do we stretch out our hearts to a strange God? That strange God being this individual right here. You see. Sometimes this fella here, he wants his own way. Sometimes, seems like most of the time, we want our own way. We want to do our own thing. We want to do what pleases this flesh. That's a strange God.
Shall not God search this out? Does not God know that? Yes, he knows that, does he not? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. You see, I wrestle with things all the time. I don't know about you folks. Do you wrestle with things? I wrestle with things all the time. And praise God, a lot of the time, the Lord wins. But too much of the time, Seth Bourne wins. You see? Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, in verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Hell and destruction are before the Lord. Well, he knows hell and destruction. He knows all who are there. He knows all who are on that path. That are headed to destruction. Once I was. Praise God. He took me off that path and put me in the narrow way. You see, in the straight gate. You see? How much more then the hearts of the children of men? Listen, if he knows everyone that is in hell and destruction, and everyone that is headed to hell and destruction, how much more does he know the hearts of all the children of men? He knows them all. And praise God, he does. And praise God, he has some who are chosen to salvation.
Yes. Amen.
And he's going to save them by you and I preaching the gospel to them.
Amen.
Wow. Fact is, he knows them. He knows those that are his. Is it 2 Timothy 4 or 1 Timothy 4? One of those. Nevertheless, the foundations of God stand assured. He knoweth those that are his. Praise God. He does. Praise God, he knew me. Praise God, he delivered me from the slave market of sin. From hell and destruction. And gave me everlasting life. When did he give me everlasting? The moment he saved me. The moment he born me again. I have everlasting life. That's present tense. That's right now. He that heareth and believeth hath everlasting life. That's another one of Brother Francis' favorite verses. He has a lot of favorite verses. Well, and I understand that. I have a lot of favorite verses in the Scriptures. And I'd have to say, along with Brother Francis, that's one of my favorite verses in the Scripture. Praise God. For that everlasting life. Did I read verse 11 of chapter 15? Let me see. Yeah, I did, didn't I? Okay. Now, let's go back to the book of Matthew again. Just to show you, I had to throw this in there. Who's Jesus Christ? Well, it says God manifest in the flesh. Oh, so he was man. He was a man. But we're let know in Scriptures that he was God, as well as man. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts. Brother Mike, you know my thoughts. I don't know yours either. But Jesus knew their thoughts. Whose thoughts did he know? He knew every one of their thoughts. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. The point is, Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus was God.
Yes, amen.
Same time that he was God, he was all man. But at the same time he was all man, he was all God. And so he knew their thoughts. You see? Turn with me to the 22nd chapter. The 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. And here we'll take a look at verse 18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness. What's that word perceived mean? Jesus knew their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? He knew their wickedness. He knew the wicked thoughts and intents of their hearts. But they couldn't get one over on him. And you would have thought that all those instances that Jesus knew what they thought, knew what they would say, and all those times, and so he counters it before they even reveal their mind, reveal their thoughts, he counters it. You would have thought that he said, this man has to be God. Why didn't they? Why didn't they? Because of the blindness of their heart. Because of the callousness of their heart. They were calloused against him. They were cold and hard-hearted. And they were against Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man. Well, we'll stop there today with that portion of Scripture. And next week we'll begin verse 19. And as I said, the first part of verse 19 just defines for you the blindness of their hearts. They being past feeling, in other words, you ought to know the blindness of their heart, they're past feeling. You see, they can't feel with a calloused heart, you know. Just like that callous, you know, it's not sensitive to the prick, to the touch, as the rest of your skin is, and so forth. Shall we have a word of prayer? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for Jesus Christ. Salvation in and through him. That one day visited me, took me from the paths of hell and destruction, set my feet on the path of everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Never gotten over it, never wanted to go, never tried to get over it. Not always been faithful. Can't even say now that I'm always faithful servant. But nonetheless, am thankful for that salvation and know that you've worked greatly in my life because of it. And you'll continue the work until the day that I stand, behold my Savior face to face. Oh, what a day that'll be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.